microphone. Today we're going to be talking about a couple of different personality types that are not biblically acceptable, a couple of ways to change them. And since examples are helpful, I'm going to name them after animals, especially for the kids. When I was in high school, my dad got a couple of geese. They were not nice. They fought everything. I've seen other geese since then, and they're all the same. Maybe some of you have had different experiences, but in my experience, geese are horrible, horrible creatures. They wake up every day and choose conflict. We are not allowed to choose conflict. We are not allowed to be geese. I talked to a friend a while ago, and he was having a disagreement with his wife. What they disagreed about was not important. Had no real bearing on their lives, and after they talked about it, she chose not to argue. This may sound simple, but that choice is missing in much of today's world. The simple act of choosing not to argue. There used to be a concept in this country called agree to disagree. This does not apply to facts, like saying the sun revolves around the earth, but it does apply to opinions, and a lot of disagreements are about opinions. Nobody wants to hear that their opinion is wrong or that someone else can have a different opinion. They think their opinions are facts, and they need people to agree with them. They choose to argue. They choose conflict. They choose to be geese. So how you approach the world is your choice. No one can make it for you. But Jesus didn't wake up every day angry and confrontational. You might be thinking that he's very hard to emulate. We're supposed to, but let's check in with Paul and Moses. Oh, look, they didn't either. They were both overwhelmed, stressed, tired, beaten, and imprisoned, but they didn't choose conflict. They didn't start out arguing and judging, and both of them had more hardship in their lives than anyone I've ever known. I personally had never been shipwrecked, imprisoned, beaten, or anything else that is detailed in Scripture. I never had to walk across the desert for years. I think both of them have more reason to be argumentative and judgmental than I do. And they did not choose to do that. So how you approach the world is your choice. And I think I just did that paragraph. Yep. So as a side note, I know that if you have small children, this will be harder. Especially right there. Children, like geese, can also be horrible creatures, but in a very different way. They have no self-awareness, especially little ones, little self-control, little self-preservation. They're basically mobile stress inducers. They move way too fast. They ask why way too often. When my son was in diapers, he liked water. Bath time was fun. So the first time he saw a swimming pool, he ran for it, jumped in, and sank like a rock. So I pulled him out, but obviously, like I said, stress-inducing. I bring this up because while child raising is stressful, it's also temporary. It does not define your life. You get to choose how to define your life. Whether you have one little stress inducer or five, you're soon not going to have them. You get to choose whether you are argumentative or not. Especially important with your kids because they'll see your argumentative nature. So, when it comes to how to define that life, one of the biggest problems I've seen, especially in the past 10 years or so, is an increase in the number of people that define themselves in opposition to what they oppose. They find something they dislike or they were taught that they should dislike, and they do things or say things to oppose that group. Sometimes it's religious. Side note that's not in here. I know somebody who is a Christian, and then if they're faced with this meat is halal, they won't eat that meat, and they will not associate with that person. God never said to do that. Never said that you can't associate with someone who is of a different religion. This Christian was not asked to believe this religion. Just said, no, I'm not gonna do that. You don't have to do that. Sometimes it's not religious, it's cultural. Anyone can see that global economy that we have now, people move. You can see people from other cultures. You don't have to argue with them. Sometimes it's racial. We see that in America. We don't even have to move. Sometimes it's as simple as not being like their parents. But opposition is not a personality. Imagine a teenager defining his entire character based on rebellion. It sounds like a bad joke or a poorly written TV character, but it's all too real. There are kids who literally look at their parents and say, no, I'm not going to be like you. So what does he do then? When the object of your rebellion or your argument is not there, you stand around with nothing to do? Do you search for that thing that you dislike so you can oppose it? Do you pick a fight with someone else? The answer should be none of the above. You should go on with your life. Your personality should be active, not reactive. You should have goals, beliefs, ideals, thoughts, feelings. Some of those can create new aspects to your life, like responsibilities or hobbies. This is not a new concept. I'm not inventing anything here. But I've seen people who can't actually explain who they are without mentioning what they oppose. I would suggest, being a Christian, starting with love and humility. Those two character traits can drive a lot of your behavior, and none of it is oppositional. Most of it is godly. So furthermore, defining yourself based on opposition or defiance makes you an incomplete person. You can only be reactive. What do you do when you have nothing to react to? Nothing to complain about? Well, the teenager I referenced earlier probably just watches TV or plays video games. Actually, adults do that too, but anyway. The adults, though, they actually have other things they have to do. They can go through the motions of life. If they aren't rich, well, that may give them something to complain about. And then the process starts again. We're all not rich, so we all have that option. Everyone in this room has the option of complaining about not being rich. But we can choose to be offended at anything. We can choose to argue about anything. We can choose to hate anything. Geese tend to think about the things they don't like. They dwell on them. They categorize them. Some of them will engage with those things on purpose and pick a fight, usually verbal. Others will just grumble as they walk away, angrily judging somebody else. That's not a good attitude, even if you're right. And geese are sometimes right. But the attitude's wrong. They seem content to define themselves this way, content to live as geese. Sometimes, I'm going to add this, it's not contentment. Sometimes they just don't know any different. If you are raised to be a goose, it's really hard to change. So the worst version of this opposition is when we blame God for our attitude. Several years ago, I saw part of a reality TV episode, just clicking through the channels, went, what's that? The person on the show said, I'm a Christian, so I hate, and then listed off several things God never said to hate. Since it was reality TV, I don't know if the line was scripted or not. We all know that some of them are, or partially are. But it doesn't matter who wrote it. She said it, millions of people watched it, and some of them judged us for it. So since I'm a Christian, I should start with love and humility. There's more to it, of course. If you want to test yourself, run through Proverbs. Read the whole book, analyze your life. If you don't see any problems, you're the problem. But if you don't see any problems, ask your spouse to do it. They can help. They won't want to. Remember, if no one likes you, you're doing life wrong. You can't blame everyone else, and you can't pretend it's because you're not witty or charming or charismatic or attractive. I've known people who are none of those things. They're still not argumentative. Still not alone. Still not judgmental. So if you are like that, check your attitude, because if you're angry or judgmental all the time, you're the problem. I've known people like that. I've been like that. And if you think you're the only person in the world that gets it, you don't get it. If you're married, your spouse can tell you that. Hopefully she'll be nice when she does. And yes, I say she, because most of us are guys. So your attitude is vital, and you choose your own attitude. Not that you can do a complete 180 in one day, but you can change it over time. Think about it. I've mentioned it before. You built yourself. You built the attitude you have now so you can build a different one. Again, the Bible indicates very strongly you should start with love and humility. You have to start by practicing. That's how we all built our current attitudes, but we probably didn't think of it like that. We probably emulated our parents or our peers. We developed habits. But doing something repeatedly is practice. So whether or not we did it intentionally, we practiced. And you can practice to stop being a goose. If you do, it might surprise some people. Do it anyway. Once we realize we can be intentional, we all choose who we are. We can be different if we choose to be. When it comes to character traits, note that I suggested starting with love and humility. I did not say that everyone has to be peppy, optimistic, and happy all the time. I've known a few people like that, and they always seem fake to me. They seem unaware of reality, or at least separated from the bad parts. they always have more money than problems. That's not our goal. We cannot be unaware of life's problems. We cannot be separated from life's problems. We definitely can't ignore them. But we can maintain a biblically appropriate attitude as we navigate those problems and help others navigate their problems. We can choose to start with love and humility, or we can choose to start with anger and conflict. So we can choose to be a goose, and wherever you started initially, it is your choice now. So as you navigate the problems in life, because you do have them, you will need help, and you will see others that also need your help. We're supposed to help others and ask for help with grace and humility, not judgment and scorn. We're supposed to respond to our surroundings with peace and love, not anger and aggression. This is a hard task. You live in the same country I do. You see the same things I do. It's not easy to hold the anger in sometimes. But it's not impossible. I think God knew that. He knew it was going to be difficult. He gave us a few tools to help. It's extremely easy to adopt a negative attitude, but if you look at the psalms, hymns, and praise music that we use, you'll see a bunch of reminders to rejoice, reminders to love and care for others. What you will not see is reminders to be angry or judgmental, to cause hate, reminders to hate or cause strife. We don't need those reminders because we're naturally good at those things. We seem naturally inclined to go through life as geese, but geese didn't write the psalms. So if you're committed to building a new version of you, a version that's less angry and judgmental, less interested in argument, strife, hatred, maybe the psalms and hymns can help. If you're not into the psalms, you'll need to find something else, because scripture is pretty clear that choosing strife is not just unwise, it's a sin. Choosing to fight when you don't have to is a sin. Now, it's pretty obvious to me that geese aren't the only problem personality, so we're going to deal with another one here. Are you a chihuahua? Yeah, you're laughing, but some of you have some chihuahua qualities. Some of you also have goose qualities, but chihuahuas. Do you wake up every morning and choose fear or insecurity? Not intentionally, of course. But if you're afraid, you should ask yourself what you're afraid of. Why? How you got that way? If you don't want to be a chihuahua, maybe you'll ask yourself how to fix it. Whatever the reason, if you live in fear, you built that personality too. Just as with conflict and anger, you probably didn't do it on purpose. I don't know anyone who built a fearful personality on purpose. You probably built it as a child. You might be building it right now as a child. You grew up and formed habits, but no matter how you built your fear, you can build something different. Just like with anger, you can change. If you don't want to be afraid, it will take work. It will take practice. It will take potentially a massive amount of effort. But just as with anger and conflict, you spent your time building your fear, so it will take your time to build a new personality. The best way I know of to fight insecurity is competence. You learn things, you do things, you fail, and then you get better. You try again. No one starts out competent. Imagine going behind that piano right now and trying to play anything short of this one note. That's all I can do, by the way. My piano ability is that. You don't get competent in a day or a week. It's impossible. Linda, it took years? Yeah, that's how it works. No matter what skill you're trying, it'll take a long time. I mean, tying your shoe, probably a day. Piano, years. But you have to try. Put in a lot of effort. Another note on chihuahuas. You are not allowed to hide behind the label of introvert. You are not allowed to pretend that fear of people or social settings is normal. It's not rational. It's not acceptable. Modern Western culture has tried to normalize fear. Social anxiety has skyrocketed in large part because it's been accepted. It's now part of the modern definition of the word introvert. But it's not part of the actual psychological definition. Fear of normal life is not part of normal definition of anything. It's an actual problem. And according to Scripture, fear of life is not acceptable. Fear of everyday life does not identify you as an introvert. It identifies you as a child. And it's your job to grow up. So you probably aren't a complete goose or a complete chihuahua. I have met very few people that are all the way one or all the way the other. I don't think I've met anyone that's afraid of literally everything. I don't think I've ever met anyone that'll argue with everyone that ever lived. I know people on both sides, but never to the extreme. So you're probably somewhere in the middle. But either way, the solution is intentionality. You may have put some effort into building who you are, or you may have been mostly passive. If you're a child right now, you probably are passively receiving whatever you can from your parents. You probably haven't thought, I want to build who I am. Any children out there thinking, they are willing to raise their hands, have you thought, I am currently building who I am? You thought that? When I was your age, I didn't. So most likely, a child is passive, just absorbing what you've got from your life. But either way, building the new you will take much more effort than building the old one did. It gets harder as you get older. It gets harder as you solidify your habits. It's easier to change if you're 10 than if you're 50. I just realized I'm approaching 50. It's never impossible, though. I've seen men who are angry and cranky mellow as they age. They seem to figure out that fighting isn't the best way to live. Some of them say they wish they had figured out sooner. I bet their families would agree. And usually, if I see an old guy that gets mellower, it involves his grandkids. He sees them and he realizes, I got to be a better person. And part of that better person is not arguing and fighting. I've also seen people that are afraid or insecure grow up. If you had asked me 30 years ago if I was ever going to preach, I would have said, no chance. I'm not going to pretend I'm good at it now because I'm still just writing an essay and reading it out loud. But maybe this can encourage someone else to do the same. Try it. Write a mediocre sermon. Try again. You'll get better. Sooner is better than later. Gaining competence at anything gets harder as you get older. And learning new skills gets much harder. People stagnate, then they decline. That's how life works. Mentally and physically, you're just going to get worse. So don't wait. So before I finish, I have one final note on these two personality types. Everyone knows or should know that we do not have the biblical right to cause strife. It's pretty obvious geese are not biblically acceptable. But what many people don't realize is that chihuahuas aren't acceptable either. We do not have the biblical right to be incompetent, and fear breeds incompetence. If you're afraid of everything, you'll never do anything. People have different gifts, skills, and personalities, so we can do different things, but no one has the right to do nothing at all. I mentioned earlier that hiding behind the label of introvert is unacceptable, but it's more than that. If you choose to live in fear and refuse to grow, you will be unable to obey God's word. You won't be able to serve others. You won't be able to teach your children, assuming you even have any. You certainly won't be able to proclaim the gospel. We're told to proclaim it with boldness, aren't we? Can't do that if you're a chihuahua. People that live in fear never become responsible, and locking yourself into the expanded modern definition of introvert is a sin. Notice I don't say people who have mental disabilities or illnesses is sin. People who constrain themselves by saying, I'm afraid, that is a sin. So growth comes in many ways. If you're looking for some examples of what that could look like here, it could be a 10-year-old memorizing scripture, a 15-year-old leading congregational prayer, a 30-year-old starting to teach Sunday school, or a 45-year-old preaching their first sermon. There's other ways too, but those are just some obvious ones. There are also things you can do that are not restricted to this building. There are a lot of ways to help people, a lot of opportunities to practice, and everyone needs practice, whether you're new and nervous or old and argumentative. So if you want to start doing something, you need somewhere safe and supportive. Your family, small group, or congregation should be appropriate, but you can narrow your group down if you need to. Start small. Especially if you're very nervous and young, start as small as you need to. You can start with one person. For those watching someone as they try to grow, make sure you intentionally support them. Your feedback has to be helpful, not just critical. If you push too hard, you'll push them right back where they started, and they'll stay insecure or argumentative. So this requires that you know and love the person and that you actually have the ability to help them grow in the way they are striving, which means you should not ask me for assistance on public speaking. I'm bad at this and I can't help you. So if you're a Chihuahua and you're looking for a smaller group to help you, there's your criteria. The people must know you, love you, and be able to help you. Do not look for help from someone who uncritically praises everything you do. She's probably your grandmother. She's legally obligated. So in summary, the world is bad. We know that. It's currently bad. Most of history is bad. There have been some bright spots, but it's mostly been war, famine, disease, and hatred. This is where geese live. Anger, conflict, and I know I didn't mention it earlier, but pride. It's the opposite of humility, and geese tend to think they're always right. But we have a choice. We can choose to act with compassion instead of anger, humility instead of pride. We can choose to care for people instead of hurting them. If a goose doesn't outgrow this behavior, they will end up pushing everyone away. In a world this broken, being angry, proud, and alone is a bad combination. Also not biblically acceptable. But what about Chihuahuas? In this context of war, famine, disease, and hatred, they tend to hide. Well, mostly from domineering geese. But they have another choice to make. They can choose to be competent instead of insecure. They can choose to study instead of relying on others for their information. They can choose to gain skill and wisdom instead of letting others control them. Earlier I said that fear breeds incompetence, but so does ignorance. If you don't know what's going on, you will not be able to act for yourself. You will only be able to follow orders. If you allow yourself to become dependent on others for knowledge, you will remain dependent on them for basic needs as well. I know that kind of blurs the definition between Chihuahua and leads towards sheep, but to be honest, the practical distinction is minimal, if it exists at all. If you're afraid to speak or act, you won't develop the skill to speak or act, so you're going to be the same as those who don't know how to speak or act. If a Chihuahua never tries to grow up, they just end up being a sheep. So in this world, none of these are valid options. We must be humble and peaceful. We must be loving and self-controlled. We must be aware and competent. We must encourage others to the same end. We cannot allow others to control us or bait us into strife. And we definitely can't do that ourselves. And I know we've all heard the saying before, grow in grace and in knowledge. Nowhere in Scripture does it say to grow in anger, fear, or ignorance. Nowhere does it say to celebrate strife or incompetence. And nowhere does it say that you cannot change. So, we'll open it up for Q&A. If anybody has anything, if you have specific questions, I may not be able to answer them, depending on my level of expertise. But if anyone has any questions at all, feel free.